As we get into the festive season, we certainly put special emphasis on the season and Christmas and all that, but do we really remember what we're celebrating during this season? We have just gone through a Thanksgiving season like we've never had before. We've altered our plans, but we still made it happen. And it's through our faith in God that we will continue to make things happen until it's time to get back to what we might consider a new normal. Amen? Amen. And speaking of Thanksgiving, we're concluding our series today on David's Thanksgiving psalm that you can find in 2 Samuel chapter 22. So we have been in here for the last 3 weeks, and we're going to conclude today on a series on Thank You, Lord. And we see that throughout this series, David has thanked God for being his support, for being his shield. And today we conclude with Thank You, Lord, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 22, starting at the 47th verse. The 47th verse, and it reads, "The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivered me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever." Today's topic is Thank You, Lord, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for being my Savior, Lord, and I thank you, Father. And as we conclude this series from this pivotal chapter at the conclusion of David's life, let us be reminded that in everything he did, he gave thanks to you. So therefore, I thank you at this time. And I pray that you guide me in this message, Lord. And I pray for the ears of those hearing and watching. In your son Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. As we look at this, the 47th verse, he is concluding this chapter that really started out by saying, "The Lord, you are my rock. You are my shield. You are my strength. You are my support." And he started out in the first few verses talking about the rock. And he says, "The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock." The Lord lives. And that's so important for us because we do serve a living Savior. We don't serve an idol. We don't serve an invention by man, but we serve a living Savior. And David is giving all credit to all that he has done to this living Savior. He says, "Blessed be my rock." David is praising God as the source of his success. Who do you praise for the source of your success, my brothers and sisters? When you look at the accomplishments of David, David was king. David was the one who defeated the Philistine giant, Goliath. David was the one who united the tribes of Israel into a single kingdom. David was the composer of many beautiful songs, psalms that have served to comfort us and give us hope. He was an excellent military strategist because he was undefeated. He was a descendant. His descendants were kings. If you want to look at a man's legacy, look at his descendants. His descendants were kings, all the way up to King Jesus. He established Jerusalem as the center of worship by bringing the Ark of the Covenant there. He didn't get to build the new temple, but he made provisions for the building of the temple. So he was a very accomplished man. He was a very successful king, but yet he knows he cannot just depend on himself. Blessed be my rock. You know, when we think of a rock, we think of stability. We think of stability, we think of a solid foundation. You know, one of the largest insurance companies in the nation had a slogan back in the day. I don't know if they still use it, but it was get a piece of the rock. And what they were saying, they were claiming that their institution was on a solid foundation, that if you invested money with them, that it would not fail. If you bought insurance from them, that they would not close up and they would pay out if you had an incident. So they said, get a piece of the rock. They played on the same theme that David is talking about, the rock of David's salvation. But an insurance company had that slogan back in the day. And they even had in their logo, the Rock of Gibraltar. So some of you know the insurance company I'm talking about, and some of you remember the commercials that they used to play about get a piece of the rock. Now, why did it use the Rock of Gibraltar, which is south of Spain, and it's on a peninsula entering the Mediterranean Sea? It's a large rock, a large mountain at the edge of the sea. And they used that slogan because that rock had been there for a long time. They used that slogan because that rock could not be moved, but also they used that slogan because that rock was a perfect defensive area to defend the entrance to the Mediterranean Sea. They could not blow it up. They could not destroy it, but the rock is still there today. When we think about the rock of our salvation, when we think about our relationship with God, we are tied to the rock. Now, for the fishermen out there, if you've ever been out fishing and you put your anchor thinking that you are secure, only to moments later realize that the tree that was in front of you over here is no longer over here, but it's over there because you have drifted. It's because your anchor did not attach to a rock, but only was dragging in the sand. As we grow in Christ, as we grow in our faith, where do we want to be anchored? Do we want to be anchored in sand that shifts from time to time, or do we want to be anchored to the rock that stays the same, is consistent yesterday, today, and forevermore? I like Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. Allow me to read that, where the writer says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Think about it. If you don't want to be moved, don't you tie yourself to something or attach yourself to something that is immobile? Think about that. He's the rock of my salvation. And David is giving credit. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. Think about it. We have faith in a lot of things, but our faith is shattered from time to time because we put our faith in the wrong things or in the wrong people. But once you put your faith in Christ, he is the rock of our salvation. So when you look at the great mountains around us, the ones that you look at pictures taken 100 years ago, they look the same. It's because those rocks shall not be moved. The rocks shall not be removed. And that's what David was talking about here. This was his faith was so deeply tied to God that he knew that he could not be moved. The 48th verse says, it is God who avenges me. David says, I rely on God to avenge me and subdue the people who are under me. I have a little talk with God. And today we can have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Allow him to work with us and through us to take care of our enemies. Romans 12, 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord, which you also find in Deuteronomy. That's why David is thankful. And we can be thankful today. Because how many times can we look around and think back in our minds to how many times God has intervened on our behalf, even when we did not even know the enemy was the enemy. Amen. He stopped it. He avenged me. How many times have we been wronged? Only to have the truth come out later. The Lord will avenge us. We don't need to spend sleepless nights thinking about how to get back at somebody who has done us wrong. We just need to do our job and keep on pressing on, and the Lord will take care of them. Because you know, when you don't lower yourself to the level of the enemy will get frustrated. The enemy will get tired. The enemy will get angry. I've seen people get physically ill because they were so upset or so mad at somebody. And the person they were mad at was just as calm as anything. They did not lose sleep because of the evil that was done against them. That's what David is saying. David is saying, it's God who avenges me. God is taking care of this. So I don't have to worry. God is the one who has taken care of me from the beginning. So I don't have to worry. God is the one that allowed me, gave me the capabilities to fight the way he wanted me to fight, to lead the way he wants me to lead. God is right there with me. When everybody else laughed, when David picked up his slingshot and some smooth stones, God was with him. The question is, are we allowing God to take care of it for us? Or do we try to get in the mix? We want evidence that somebody has been subdued. But no. Let's just move on with our lives and allow God to take care of it and avenge us. In verse 49 of 2 Samuel 22, he says, he delivers me from my enemies. He delivers me from my enemies. You know, I have been surrounded, David is saying, by enemies, enemies on all sides, enemies above me, enemies below me, enemies to the left and to the right, to the front and to the back. I have been in all kinds of battles. I have been in battles when it looks like the impossible. It will be impossible for us to defeat the enemy. But yet, Lord, you showed up. Yet, Lord, you showed up in a mighty way. You made things happen so that we could conquer the enemy. You delivered us. You protected us. You delivered us from the enemies. You also lifted me up above those who rise against me. You put me on a higher level than those who rose against me, Lord. You have delivered me from the violent man. You have delivered me. And he is just letting everybody know that it is not him. If we had the history books that detailed his strategy for every battle, we would be amazed. How did you think of that? No, he just depended on the Lord. And the Lord helped him develop his strategy for battle. While people were praising David, David was praising God. Isn't that amazing that he gave credit where credit is due? And look at verse 50. He says, therefore, Lord, I thank you. Therefore, Lord, I will give thanks to you. Therefore, Lord, I will give thanks to you for being my strength. Because of the strength you've given me, I can defeat my enemies. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, Lord, for being my shield. Because you are my shield, I can defend myself against my enemies. Therefore, I will give thanks to you for being my support. Lord, when it's times that I did not feel like standing up to my enemies, you propped me up against my enemies. You were my support during my enemies. Therefore, I will thank you, Lord, for being my savior. Because you are my savior, I am saved from my enemies. I am delivered from my enemies. And for us today, we are saved through our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He is saying, therefore, I will give thank you. Therefore, Lord, since you've done so much for me, I will praise your names. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. O Lord, I will tell everybody about you. Isn't it amazing that David was committed to telling everybody about somebody who was the Lord of his life? This is one king promoting the ultimate king. It is so refreshing to just read this and just meditate on this when we're living at a time when leaders complain that they don't get the credit, or when they are only like to talk about themselves and what they have done. It is reassuring to know that there is a king that looks out for everyone. It is so reassuring to know that there are leaders who will tell you quickly that I did not do that by myself, but the Lord led me. And the song, another song says, where he leads, I will follow. That's David's testimony. That's David's testimony. David is letting everybody know. And here we are today reading about David, one of the greatest kings ever. And he got a lot of great credit for his strategic mind. He got a lot of great credit for how he helped his people and supported his people and brought his people together rather than dividing his people. He got a lot of credit for all that. But here's his opportunity in this 2 Samuel chapter 22. Here's his opportunity to share how I was able to do that. Because of you, O Lord. So I will be quick to tell people when they try and praise me, to tell them that it was not me. That's something that King Saul did not understand. King Saul, who was the king before David, he got jealous because of David's popularity and tried to kill David. He didn't understand that it was not David, but it was the Lord who was doing all this. People will get jealous because of our accomplishments. People will get jealous because of what we've done. People will get jealous because of our education. People will get jealous for various reasons, because they want what we have. But let us quick to be tell people that it is not me. Yes, God, you gave me the intellect. You gave me the capability. You gave me the resources. Yes, Lord, you have made me a steward over the resources, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But it is you and not about me. Don't we say that to people sometimes? It's not about you. It is not about you. And David concludes this in the 51st verse, where he says, he is the tower of salvation to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. He is the tower. When you think about a tower, you think about something that is lifted up high. You think about a platform that is high above everything else. A tower can be used to illuminate individual. If you go up higher, you can see them better. The tower is also a place where people can defend it. He is the tower of salvation to the king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Because of David's praise, because of David's praise of God, and God's deliverance of him, it was an example of the blessings that would endure throughout the descendants of David. And if you look at the descendants of David, you will see Jesus Christ. He is the tower of salvation to his king. When I think about that tower, I also think about lifted something up. And I think of the song, Lift Him Up. Lift him up, lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men on to me. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Jesus is our piece of the rock. Jesus has provided a guarantee that all who come to him will be saved and will not perish. Now that's something you can take to the bank, that Jesus. That's what David is doing in this psalm. He's just lifting up his Lord. He's lifting him up so everybody knows that it was not him, but it was the Lord who was on his side. It was the Lord who comforted him when he was depressed. It was the Lord who strengthened him when he needed strength. It was the Lord who forgave him when he needed forgiveness. So therefore, he's letting everyone know that it was not all about him. And for this, he was thankful. So as we conclude this lesson of thanksgiving from David, I certainly pray that you had an outstanding Thanksgiving week, in spite of what's going on around us. You know, we get used to the familiar, but things will be disturbed every now and then. But the one thing that cannot be disturbed is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you, and I pray that this message has been a blessing to you and will resonate with you for times to come. So read this 2 Samuel chapter 22 for inspiration, for God is so good. And for this, we are thankful.